I'm standing on a chair with one foot planted a little awkwardly, my shoulder brushing the wall, and I've got my thumb hovering just under that small plastic button everyone ignores. I pause for a second before I press it, not because I'm afraid of the sound, but because this is usually the moment people realize they haven't thought about this thing in years. The room is quiet enough that I can hear the hum of the house settling, and that's when I always say it out loud. Even if I'm alone, if this thing doesn't scream when I touch it, that's a problem. I press in slowly, feeling the button give just a little, and I'm already listening before anything happens. This is one of those jobs that feels simple until you understand what's actually at stake. You're not fixing something you can see. You're checking whether something invisible will wake you up when it matters. I'll walk you through how I do this so you know, not guess, that your house will speak up when it needs to. Testing smoke and carbon monoxide detectors isn't about pressing a button and moving on with your day. That's the part everyone remembers. But that's not the task. The real task is confirming that a system designed to warn you about something you cannot see, smell, or hear yet is actually alive, paying attention, and capable of cutting through sleep, noise, and routine when it matters most. You're checking awareness, not just power. I've been in houses where the detectors were technically installed, batteries inside, lights blinking, and still completely useless. People assume that if it's mounted on the ceiling and hasn't chirped in a while, it must be fine. That's a comforting assumption, and it's usually wrong. Smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors don't fail loudly. They fail quietly. They sit there looking normal while the sensor inside degrades, the battery weakens just enough, or the electronics age out. The first thing I want you to understand is that smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are not the same thing, even when they're in the same housing. Smoke detectors are looking for particles in the air, tiny changes that suggest something is burning. Carbon monoxide detectors are watching for a gas that has no smell and no color, a byproduct of incomplete combustion. One warns you about fire. The other warns you about poisoning. They do different jobs, and they fail in different ways. Most people get this task wrong because they treat it like a formality. They press the button, hear a noise, and feel done. What they don't realize is that the button test only tells you part of the story. It confirms that the alarm can make sound and that some power is present. It does not always confirm that the sensor itself is working correctly, especially for carbon monoxide. I've learned that the hard way after responding to a call where the alarm tested fine but never detected the buildup that should have triggered it. Another reason people misunderstand this task is timing. They do it once when they move in and then never again. Detectors are living on borrowed time from the moment they're installed. Sensors age. Batteries weaken even if they aren't dead. Dust, humidity, and even cooking residue slowly interfere with how accurately the device can read the air. This isn't neglect, it's just physics. But if you don't account for it, you end up trusting something that hasn't earned it. Success here looks like confidence, not relief. When you're done testing properly, you shouldn't be thinking, "Good, it didn't fail." You should be thinking, "I know exactly how this alarm behaves, how loud it is, how long it takes to respond, and what it sounds like when it's healthy." That familiarity matters. In an emergency, your brain recognizes patterns faster than it processes new information. If you've never really heard your alarm before, it becomes background noise instead of a command. Before touching anything, I want you to shift how you think about this task. You're not checking a box, you're checking a promise. This device is promising to wake you up, interrupt your life, and possibly save it. You're deciding whether that promise still holds. That mindset changes how carefully you listen, how seriously you take weak responses, and how willing you are to replace something that looks fine but doesn't feel right. When I test detectors, I don't rush into it, even though the tools are simple. In fact, the simplicity is what makes people careless. The main tool you'll use is your senses. But there are a few physical things I always have ready because they make the difference between guessing and knowing. I always start with a stable way to reach the detector. That might be a step stool or a ladder, but what matters is that you're steady. You don't want to be stretching or balancing because that distracts you from listening and feeling. When your body is uncomfortable, your attention is split. I want both feet planted, my weight centered, and my hands free to move slowly. Next, I make sure I know what kind of detector I'm dealing with. Battery only, hardwired with battery backup, combination smoke and carbon monoxide, or standalone units, all behave a little differently. Before I touch anything, I look at the face of the detector and the small indicator light. I note whether it's steady, blinking, or off. That light is already telling you a story about power and status if you're paying attention. I also keep a fresh battery nearby, even if I don't plan to replace one. This is about readiness. If the alarm sounds weak, delayed, or inconsistent, I don't want to stop halfway through and go searching for a battery. Having it there removes the excuse to put the decision off. For carbon monoxide detectors, I also like to have a testing spray designed for that purpose. This isn't always required, but it's the only way to truly test the sensor itself. The button test alone won't always do it. Having the spray ready changes the quality of the test from superficial to meaningful. Before I start, I think about the environment. I make sure windows aren't wide open, fans aren't blasting, and the house is relatively quiet. I want to hear the alarm clearly and notice how quickly it responds. Air movement can dilute test gases and delay responses, which can confuse the results. Readiness also means mental preparation. I remind myself that loud noises are coming. This sounds silly, but it matters. If you tense up or rush the moment the alarm starts, you miss information. I want to be calm enough to notice how the sound ramps up, whether it's immediate or delayed, and whether it stays consistent. Finally, I position my body so my ear is slightly angled toward the detector, not directly under it. Sound behaves differently depending on direction, and I want to hear it as it would sound in the room, not distorted by being directly beneath it. When everything feels settled, when I'm not reaching, not rushing, and not distracted, that's when I know I'm ready to start. When I press the test button, I don't jab it. I press slowly and deliberately, feeling for that point where the resistance changes. That moment tells me something about the condition of the button and the internal contacts. A mushy or inconsistent feel can mean wear, and wear matters over time. As the alarm activates, I listen before I react. A healthy alarm usually ramps up quickly and confidently. The sound should be sharp, urgent, and impossible to ignore. If there's hesitation, a delay, or a wavering tone, that's information. I've learned not to talk myself out of those details. If it sounds tired, it probably is. I hold the button long enough to let the alarm fully engage. Short presses don't always tell the full story. I want to hear whether the sound stays strong or fades. I pay attention to my own reaction too. Does it make me want to cover my ears? Does it feel commanding? That discomfort is part of the design. A detector that's polite won't wake you up. For combination units, I listen for different alarm patterns. Smoke and carbon monoxide alerts often sound different. If I don't hear both during appropriate tests, I don't assume they're working. I confirm. When using carbon monoxide test spray, I follow through patiently. I introduce the gas as directed and wait. The waiting is important. Some detectors take longer to respond, but there's a difference between a design delay and a failure to detect. I watch the indicator light and listen for changes. When the alarm triggers, I note how long it took and how strong it sounds. Common mistakes happen here. People panic at the noise and release the button too quickly. Others assume a weak chirp means success. I've made those mistakes myself, especially early on. Over time, I learned to trust patterns, not hope. Consistent volume, clear alarm tone, and predictable behavior are what I'm looking for. If something doesn't feel right, I stop trusting the device. This is where professional judgment comes in. I don't negotiate with safety equipment. If I'm unsure, I replace it. Detectors are inexpensive compared to what they protect. Waiting for clearer signs is a gamble I don't take. I also reset the detector properly after testing, making sure it returns to its normal state. I listen for any residual chirps or fault signals. Those quiet aftersounds are often warnings people ignore. When I step down from the chair and look around the room, I take a moment to imagine the alarm going off in the middle of the night. I ask myself honestly whether it would get my attention. If the answer is yes, I'm done. If the answer is maybe, I'm not. This is one of those tasks where confidence comes from repetition and attention. The more carefully you do it, the more natural it feels. You're not just testing plastic on the ceiling. You're proving to yourself that you're paying attention to your space and the people in it. You can do this, and when you do it right, you sleep differently afterward.